We are on Mem Vav Amid Beis. The Mishnah had told us Miyad Tinekos, and there were two possible understandings of what the Mishnah meant. That Miyad, what are two possible understandings of Miyad? What's the literal translation? From the hand of. So because of that, it also could mean immediately, right away. So those are two explanations of the Mishnah. One possibility is the adults grabbed things from the kids, and they bit their esrogim and all kinds of things. Probably the guy's name was Larry. And the other possibility is that, for those of you that were there, and the other possibility is that immediately the children would take bites out of their own esrogim. Put all the phones away. Let's learn. Amar Yechanan, Esrog b'shvi aser b'shmini muter. The Gemara is getting involved with the question of what exactly is the status of the Chetzes HaMitzvah once the mitzvah is over. We're going to be introduced into an interesting concept over here, which is the concept of iskatzoi. Iskatzoi is from the word mukta, that something is designated, something is set aside for a certain purpose, so then you're not allowed to do other things with it. It is set aside for a specific purpose. Mukta, literally, the word mukta, we right away has a certain connotation to us. The connotation of mukta is, oh, Hilchel Shabbos, and then you're not allowed to do it. My children think that the word muksa means you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. You know, like, am I allowed to eat that? Is that muksa? You know, like, no, it's not muksa, it's food. You know, like that kind of thing. Muksa means that it's set aside for a specific purpose. So if you go ahead and you want to make raisins, so you take the grapes and you put them on your roof when it's nice and hot in the summertime, and they shrivel, and eventually they'll dry out and become raisins. It takes a long time. In the beginning of that process, they're really disgusting. And nobody wants to have anything to do with that. So they're set aside. They are put away for the purpose of becoming raisins. You are not going to do anything else with them. They're certainly not prepared for Shabbos. So those things are put aside. They are set aside for some other purpose. It's not for Shabbos. They are mukta. Mar has an idea of stones or wood, things that a person is going to use for construction in his house. So you set them aside. These are not, you're not going to use this for anything else. You're not going to take one of those big fancy tiles that you're going to redo your bathroom with and use it as a doorstop, because if it falls over, it's going to break, and you're not going to do that. It's muktzah. So here, the esrog that you have, you know, when you buy it from the guys that are selling them on Erosukis, so they're selling the esrog for $80, and that same esrog at the grocery store is going to be much, much less. This is the esrog that you're using for your mitzvah. So it's set aside for the mitzvah. So we learned in the past that you're allowed to smell it still, because that's something that that is not huksa l'mitzvah, huh? But when you go ahead and you put schach on top of your sukkah, so you're not allowed to take off a piece of schach and use it as a toothpick, it's huksa l'mitzvah. So that's what's going on in the background of the Gemara. The Gemara is considering, interesting. So either the adults are grabbing the kids' esrogim, or the kids are doing this themselves. They're taking bites. They're eating their esrogim that are designated for the mitzvah. Well, but they finished the mitzvah. I mean, they did it already. They're done. So how does it work in terms of setting something aside for a mitzvah? Does it become designated at least till like the end of the day? Why would you think? Can someone make an argument? We're all lawyers here. Well, there's some doctors also. Why would it be, accountants, that one could make an argument it would be huktzah for the mitzvah for the entire day, even though you already fulfilled the mitzvah? Why would anyone suggest such a thing?
Because the mitzvah, every day, if you're saying that every day there's a mitzvah, meaning not every morning or every time you daven, but the mitzvah every day, and that means it's from one night.
The mere fact that you could do the mitzvah the entire day, and, well, the proof is you could give it to somebody else. I think if they haven't done it yet, they could do the mitzvah the entire day. So perhaps, even though you've accomplished your personal mitzvah, because the esrog lends itself to the mitzvah for the rest of the day, so it is hooked to the mitzvah until the end of the day. Beautiful? Okay, so what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, Amr B'yaychanan said, Esrog b'shvi, aser b'shmini muter. And esrog on the seventh day is aser, on the eighth day it is muter. So what does he mean by that? Yeah, for any other purpose, right? Obviously, it's not asr for the mitzvah. He means to say that you're not allowed to decide you're going to make your esrog jam or your liquor. They have this great esrog liquor. Did you ever get that one? Every year they come out and Sukkot's time with some sort of esrog liqueur. In any case, but on the eighth day, it's mutter. So obviously, Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that it is huktsa, l'mitzvaso, for the entire seventh day. Otherwise, he would have said, you could use it for whatever you want after you finish the mitzvah. But it's not until the eighth day. Sukkah, afilu b'shmini asura. Sukkah is not like that. Sukkah is asur even the eighth day. The eighth day? Why should it be asur on the eighth day? The eighth day is shmini atzeres. It ain't sukkahs anymore. Why should it be a problem on the eighth day? Anybody know or anybody have an idea? Didn't see the Gemara yet? Is it? Is the 8th of Shmini Atzeres a continuation of the holiday?
Yeah, the Muxa and stuff, so I guess it like destroyed what you use for the mitzvah and the rest of the holiday is considered
Muxa. Wait, what do you mean? So Sukkot is over, right?
Yeah, because your Sukkot wasn't allowed to be used on the 7 days for anything else, and Shmini Atzeres is like a continuation of Sukkot destroyed or.
So you want to argue maybe Shmini Atzeres should be really like a continuity somehow of Sukkot. Even though there's no mitzvah Sukkot anymore, but maybe it is the eighth day after all. Maybe something about Shmini Atzeres should have to be some sort of continuity and maybe, you know, the designation should somehow remain. Okay? So what does the Gemara say? The Gemara of Yechlan held that an Esrig is Aser the whole seventh day and it's Mutter on the eighth day. The contrast to that is Sukkah. Sukkah filu b'Shmini Asura. The sukkah continues to be usher even on the eighth day when seemingly the mitzvah is no longer applicable. So that would be the question on what you suggested. Well, then what's the difference between the esrog and the sukkah? V'reish Lakish Amar, Shlakish said, esrog afilu b'shmini ami mutter. Not only do I disagree with you about sukkah, but even the esrog is already going to be permissible. You can eat it, you can do whatever you want with it, already after you complete your mitzvah on the seventh, the last day of Sukkot. That's what he means by Nami Mutter, right? That's how we know he means also, in addition to what? In addition to Sukkah. So he's disagreeing with Rabbi Yochanan on both points. So the Gemara says, Maika Mifligi, but with what are they arguing? What are they arguing about? Mar Savar la mitzvasa iskatsoi. Umar Savar la kule yuma iskatsoi. One holds that it's designated and set aside for its mitzvah, and one holds it's designated for the entire day. What is that? What do you mean designated for the entire day? The day that the mitzvah is applicable. In other words, so Rish Lakish who holds that once you do your mitzvah, you can eat your esrog. Only a problem for the mitzvah. But, in other words, only designated for the mitzvah. But once the mitzvah is over, you can do whatever you want with it. L'yuma iskatsoi is a different idea. It's that it's designated for that mitzvah for the entire day, like Yehuda said, because the mitzvah is available to be done with it the entire day. Wait a minute. So now we understand the machlokes by esrog, right? But does that account for sukkah? What does that have to do with sukkah? Sukkah, Rabbi Yochanan said, was a problem on the eighth day. But there's no mitzvah sukkah on the eighth day. You hear the question, right? Okay, so hopefully the Gemara will come back for that. Eisivei Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Rish Lakish had a question on Rabbi Yochanan, and he said the following kasha. Our Mishnah said, Miat tinoika shayim tenis lulavayan v'oichan esregayan. So however you read it exactly, we'll read it for now as the adults take it from the children. So they from the hands of the children, they would take their lulavayam and oichan esregayam and eat the children's esregayam. My love. So, what, of course, what day was that?
The eighth day.
The seventh day, right? In other words, this is the last day that they're taking the lulav and esrogim. So they did it. They're finished with the mitzvah. So as soon as they're done with the mitzvah, the adults would grab the lulav and the esrogim and then play this game with the kids. My love. So the question that Reish Lakish is wondering about is, how come they did this to the kids? Why didn't they just do it to each other? Larry, you know? So, what is my answer? My love, says Reish Lakish, is it not? Who had din likdoilim? That you know, it's just the way it was. You know, they did it to the kids because that's, you know, you play with kids. You're not going to go to the guy standing next to you that you may or may not even know. And like, hey, can I see your estrogen for a minute? Hey, you know, my wife didn't check a little estrogen. I'm taking it home for her. Oh, sorry. You know, like, okay, well, that's just what they did with the kids. But there's nothing wrong with doing it to an adult. That was just my sish ayakachai. So the Gemara answers for Rabbi Yechon. Nope. Tinoikas dafka. It was specifically for the teen. And I'm just going to
press one.
Okay. One of the Hatzala guys in my shul. So one of the interesting, I don't know, exceptions, whatever you call it. There's a policy problem when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, right? In other words, shilas are shilas. And then sometimes policy can become problematic. In other words, you have a guy that's on Hatzalah in Brooklyn, you know, in Williamsburg, in mainstream downtown, whatever you want to call it, you know, old school Muncie. So you go in on a call, how far are you possibly going to go? You know, the Hatzalah guy's like every few blocks. And so even if it's in the middle of the night, you know, you walk, you know, you don't even necessarily need to take a car. Sometimes it has to be an ambulance. It depends on where you are. Sometimes, you know, if you're far away, you're in a city, especially if you're in a place like Pomona, so you got to jump into your car and you may have to drive. You know, they're starting to try and have people closer to different locations, but sometimes it could be, you know, a couple of years ago that a guy on my side of Pomona is going to have to drive 10 minutes to get to the other side of Pomona, 15 minutes. And then when he gets there, if you can figure out where he's going, it's pitch black because in Pomona you're not allowed to have any lights because it's the country and you have to leave. If you want to live here, you're living in the country. There are no sidewalks, there are no lights, you know. So there was a big, it was a very important conversation that the guys were having. Like, you know, first of all, can we use a cell phone? So that's all the guys don't carry cell phones, right? They don't do cell phones. They use the walkie-talkies. So what about cell phones? So that was a big issue in Pomona. It became a little bit necessary for a few different reasons. And, you know, to be able to take ways, you know, find where you're going real quickly. You know, how else, you know, you don't have that much time. It's not like you're just going down the block. You know where everything is. You know, the twists and turns and new people just moved in this and you don't even know where you're going. Anyway, so that was a big issue. So now, at least the guys in Pomona have heterium now that to carry their cell phones. So what was it? It was like the Shalosh Shabbos time or something like that. All of a sudden, you know, one of the other guys, so his phone starts to ring, which is very unusual. I've never heard that before. He always gets some kind of, you know, he gets a call on the walkie-talkie, which they have a whole Bluetooth thing now, so you don't hear it, you know, what's the right word? Squeechy, squelching, whatever the word is, you know, all the noises that the walkie-talkies make. Anyways, now they got earpieces and everything, you know, they're always coming up with better ways to do everything. So all of a sudden, you know, he goes to, you know, to deal with the phone. So everyone was, you know, of course, curious, and like, everything okay? Like, there's some kind of emergency, like, on the cell phone. You know, take a guess.
It was one of the
things. Yeah. Hi, we'd like to sell you, you know, a bridge in Brooklyn. You know, thank you, Shkai. So it goes. Anyway.
Is that a problem picking up the phone? I mean, he thinks it's an emergency, but if he picks up the phone to answer that.
I mean, he has no choice, right? Because it could be. He has no choice. I don't know if I don't think they're supposed to get calls on the phone, but he says it sometimes. You know, it could be an emergency, the dosage issues, who knows, whatever it is. Okay. But that's what you call annoying.
I thought
they
used to walkie
talkies. Yeah, they do. That's never the phone ever rings. It never rings.
But why did I need a phone? Why can't they just use a GPS?
No, so
they're saying that if they're just using the phone for GPS purposes, why can't they just put on silent and then not use the phone as a phone call?
It could be they do. I don't know. It could be they have all kinds of rules. I don't know all the details. It's just complicated. You can imagine it gets complicated. There's always a concern that it's going to lead to all kinds of other things and then these kinds of things.
I'm saying that they already have the walkie-talkies to communicate, especially in cases of emergency, so where someone's called in. So they don't need the phone to communicate.
Right.
They just need the phone to tell them where to go.
Right.
So they just need it for GPS purposes. So you can silence your phone then. It's not like the case where it's like, oh, a doctor that, you know, he has like all his patients know what his phone number is and that they'll call if there's an emergency.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
I mean, also a GPS would work too, and that GPS just wouldn't even have the phone any other capabilities besides navigation.
Yes, and certainly it might be an advantage of the phone also. It could be. Yeah. But those are the problems of policy. So the Gemara said, so Rish Lakish wanted to ask, this is Kasher of Yerichon. So don't you see that it just gave the example of the kids because that was the Maisa Shahaya. But really, at the end of the day, once the mitzvah is over, so then it's no longer Huksa Liyuma. There's no such thing. So that's that. So how does Rabbi Yochanan, how does Gemara, you know, defend Rabbi Yochanan? It says, no. It's Tinoika's Dafka. So how do you explain that? Why would it be Tinoika's Dafka? The answer is because Tinoika's means, not little babies, they're obviously old enough to be holding an asterisk, but they're not really chayav in the mitzvah, you know? The Madrega of Chiyuv is different.
Is the reason why they're saying that you can't do it by adults is because if an adult were to do it to another adult, that the other adult might need the etrog or...
No, it's not a practicality. It's huksa liyuma. That's Rabbi Yochanan's argument. So why isn't a child huksa liyuma? The answer is because even huksa l'mitzvaso is confusing because he's doing a mitzvah, but it's only chinuch. Eating the esrog?
Yeah. Right, so...
The question is, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the esrog should have been huksa liyuma. Right?
Huksa liyuma means what again? It means that
it's considered to be designated for its mitzvah the entire day,
right?
Because that's the time that the mitzvah is able to be done.
Right.
So it's huksa the whole day, even though you personally fulfilled your chiyuv with it already. It's considered to be muksa, in other words, set aside for mitzvah purposes. You can't use it for other things until the end of the time that you could be yotze that mitzvah.
Right.
Even
and
if you were already yotze.
Right, and so if the adults yotze the mitzvah already,
mm-hmm.
then it loses its...
That's Rish Lakish. And Rish Lakish says, now it's no longer huksa mitzvasa. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, but it's huksa yuma now. Because mitzvah could still be done
right,
with it the rest of the day. Right.
No.
So that's the right answer. Rabbi Yochanan, so that's Rabbi Shalkish's kasha, right? How could you take it from the kids? Isn't it because it's not huksa liyuma?
Oh, they're taking it from the kids.
Yeah, they're because biting the kids.
Kids are only because for them it's not huksa, because they're not
so that's how you have to explain the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan responds, no, they would not be allowed to do this to another adult. Only the kids. Why? What's different by the kids? So you have to answer, because the children, apparently, since they only have a mitzvah of chinuch, so it's not even considered really huksa l'mitzvah, not huksa l'yuma, it's like a totally different altogether. That's what you have to say. Iga de Amri, there are those that have the entire presentation reversed. There are those that say, Eish Yerichan Rish Lakish. This actually was not a kasha of Reish Lakish on Reish Lakish, it was vice versa. It was Reish Lakish's kasha on Reish Lakish. So again, Reish Lakish is one that says it's huksa liyuma, and Reish Lakish says, no, it's only huksa l'mitzvasa. So Reish Lakish then said to Reish Lakish, according to this version, the Mishnah told us, the adults grab it from the kids. So don't you see from here, the Mishnah obviously is not just telling you that there was the Maiseh, it's telling you this so that you'll know that it's mutter when it comes to kids, but it's obviously usher when it comes to adults. So Reish Lakish responded in his way, nah, who had the nafi l'gedaylim? Nah, come on. It's even true when it comes to adults. The fact that it teaches you, tinokos, is just the manner of the thing that it's teaching you. That's just the way it was. But it's not because that's the halacha that would be usher to do to another adult. It's equally mutter to grab another adult's esrog again. Eat it. Okay? That's Reish Lakish's opinion. In other words, the Gemara's point is that you could take the Mishnah either way. You're both going to interpret the Mishnah along their lines. There's no way that you could use the Mishnah to really prove one way or the other. I'm a leader of Labaye. So now we're moving on to later generation. Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan were early Amoraim, and Abaye and Rapapa later. So Rapapa said to Abaye, you know, well, Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, that there is something called huksa liyuma, so that you're not allowed to eat the esrog, you're doing the esrog that whole day. Maishna sukkah, maishna esrog. Well, this is the question that we asked. What's the difference between sukkah and esrog? Because Rabbi Yochanan's opinion was that the sukkah is usur. What does it mean, usur? You're not allowed to use the schach, let's say, for toothpicks or for mats or for anything else, any other purpose. Now, there's one little point you have to make over here. Obviously, no one ever thought for a minute you'd be allowed to take down your sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Why?
Because
Take down your schach. It's still yontif. So what are you not allowed to do? Say better. Right. You're not allowed to take apart the ohel. I mean, it's a structure. So that would be stires binyan. That would be soser. There's bona and there's soser. You're not allowed to build. You're not allowed to destroy. So this is a built structure already. You're not going to be allowed to take down the schach. Okay, but maybe with toothpicks, you know, there were other things that we would be able to talk about. You're not actually destroying the structure, but you'll be allowed to take certain things down and use it for other purposes. It's hooks, it's mitzvah, so that's what we want to focus on. So the Rebbe says to Abaye, what is the pshat that when it comes to sukkah, not obviously you're not allowed to take it down, but how come you wouldn't be allowed to use it for toothpicks or something like that? Why would it be hooks in the mitzvah on the 8th day? The 7th day, we understand. A person's in his sukkah. He ate his last meal on the last day of Sukkot. And now, you know, he's going to go learn. And he wants to learn. And, you know, he's not learning in his sukkah. You don't have to learn in his, you know, he wants to go, whatever. So he goes in his house. Maybe it's cold outside. It's raining. I don't know, whatever it is. So he goes inside. So that's the last time he used his sukkah. So that's exactly like Esther, right? You finish doing your mitzvah. So according to Reish Lakish, it's hooks of the mitzvasa. So as long as you're still using it for the mitzvah, it's muksa. But now I'm done. I'm not going back into my sukkah. Tonight, Shmini Atzeres, come back from shul. I come into my house to make kiddush. Now, our minig, because we live in Chutz Laretz, is that most people anyway, have the minig that you eat in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, not on Simchas Torah, right? Unless you come from Hasidish blood, maybe. Whatever, the different minhagim. But in Eretz Yisrael, let's say, Shemini Atzeres, he's not Sukkot anymore. Are you with me on the question? So why in the world would Rabbi Yochanan insist that the Sukkah should be a problem on the 8th day? The whole 7th day, that's parallel to Esrig, that we understand. But why in the world would it be a problem on the 8th day? So Amar Le Papa Rabbi Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Maishna Sukkah, Maishna Esrig, what is this difference between Esrig, which, okay, it'll be also the whole 7th day of Sukkot, and Sukkah, which suddenly is also on the 8th day too. Marley, so by responding to Papa, Sukkah the Chazi Lena Shmashes. Sukkah is, it lends itself, it's appropriate for Bein HaShmashes. What's Bein HaShmashes? Between the suns. What do you mean? What's Bein HaShmashes?
Before the stars come out.
After what? Before what?
After sunset.
After sunset. Before the stars come out. It's called Bein HaShmashos. Is that day or is that night?
We don't know.
It's Bein HaShmashos. Bein HaShmashos is probably, according to most Rishonim, a suffix if it's day or if it's night. So, you know, you're kind of stuck. If you want to eat in your sukkah, Bein HaShmashos. Sorry. If you want to eat certain types of food, bread, I don't know. You want to eat Bein HaShmashos. So then, do I have to eat in the sukkah or do I not have to eat in the sukkah? It's between the 7th and 8th day. The 8th day is Shemini Atzeres. 7th day is Sukkot. And Shemini Atzeres and Eretz Yisrael, ideally, we do not eat in the Sukkah. Correct? But Sukkot, you got to eat in the Sukkah. It's Bein HaShmashos between 7 and 8. And suddenly I have a craving. I must have challah.
Better to eat in the Sukkah?
Just in case. I don't want better. Rabbi, tell me what I'm obligated to do. What's the halacha?
Is it possible?
That's discussed, right? And we'll get to that too. So what's the story with adding to mitzvahs? What do you mean? Are you allowed to do that? So but for now, we're not talking about that. We want to know Bein HaShmashos. Bein HaShmashos is a...
Yeah, but if it's the opposite of Bein HaShmashos, then it's not just that you're eating a sukkah, but, I mean, you don't have to. If you're eating a sukkah, you're not allowed to.
You want to add another factor. You want to suggest that... Well, so let's go step by step. Let's go step by step. Fine. We'll go step by step, though. So what's the first point? The first point is that right now it's Bein HaShmashos. I don't know. It's a suffix if it's day or night. So what would the starting point be before we throw in your monkey wrench? What would the starting point be? Well, suffix. What? Suffix sukkah. So how do we define such a suffix? How do you know where to go here? Any rules? Well, it's a suffix d'araisa, right? Because sukkah got eaten in the sukkah, so I mean bread. So it's a suffix d'araisa. So based on that principle, suffix d'araisa, what should I do? Suffix d'araisa l'chumra. So Shlomo wants to say, yeah, but it's not exactly true. Because if the next day was chol, So then, okay, then you're right. Maybe you wouldn't be right even then. But it's Shmini Atzeres. So is that a problem? Is it maybe like you're adding? So the answer is no, of course not, because that's the principle of Safek L'chumra. I'm doing it misafek. I'm not doing it to add mitzvahs.
So Baal
Tosif is a principle where you are adding to the Torah. But when you're following the Torah because you're just not sure if you're still chayav, because it may still be day, so no one ever said that would be Baal Tosif. It's a Safek. That's all. You just need to resolve your Safek. But when the Safek's over, and now it's Shmini Atzeres, okay, then we can start talking about Baal Tosif. Okay, so Beinu Shmashos is a Safek Yom, Safek Laila. Safek Deraisa, we should go Le Chumra, Le Sukkah. Yeah? We should go Le Sukkah. Safek Deraisa, Le Sukkah. So we should eat in the Sukkah. So again, what does the Gemara say? Abaye answered and said, Sukkah Dechazi Le Beinu Shmashos. Sukkah, which lends itself to Beinu Shmashos, what does that mean? That if a person needs to eat, and it's Beinu Shmashos, what does he have to do? What's the halacha? You have to eat it in the Sukkah. The Isrami lay su'udasa, if it would occur to him a suda, I mean, if so it's a funny case, but okay, if a person does have to eat, he has such a craving, so he has to eat a suda ben hashmasha, so where does he have to eat it? Boi meisav begava, umechal begava. So he has to sit in it and eat, and eat in it. So then, therefore, since he has to eat in the sukkah ben hashmasha, because the stuff like that rise to the chumrah, Iskatsoi Levena Shmashos. It's designated during Beina Shmashos. So the sukkah has a status of being a sukkah, Beina Shmashos. Umigu Iskatsoi Levena Shmashos. And just like it's designated Beina Shmashos, Iskatsoi Lekula Yuma, then by default, it is designated for the entire next day. Because since when the day started, because it's a suffix Lila also, it's a suffix previous day, it's also a suffix of the next day. So since during that suffix time, which may be the next day, it was already designated for mitzvah purpose, so therefore that continues. What's the next line going to be? But Esrog? Esrog, we're going to have to say, is different. Right? So let's see how the Gemara says it. Umigid iskatsoi lebena shmashos iskatsoi lekula yuma dishmini. Esreg deloi chazi lebena shmashos. Esreg, which is not fit for bein hashmashos. What do you think that means? It's not fit for bein hashmashos.
It has to be done during the day.
So the parallel should be, well, what happens if a person realizes that he didn't take lulav and esreg that day? So what would you say? Let's take a crazy case. What would be if a person, it's Purim, and he drank a little too much, a little too early in the morning, and he didn't hear Megillah, or maybe he passed out during the Megillah, and you have the entire day to hear the Megillah. And now all of a sudden he snaps out of it, he wakes up, he sobers up, realizes he didn't hear Megillah, and it's Beina Shmashas. So is there any reason why he should hear Megillah? Well, it's still a Suffolk day, right? So based on the side of the argument that it's still day, is it valuable for him to hear Megillah?
Yes.
It's at least a Suffolk. Is he mechuyev to hear Megillah? That's an interesting question. Because Suffolk Dirabanan Lakula. But at least he could be Yotze. So, if you're a betting man, if you want to try to be Yotze, you're going to try to do it, right? So, what if it's the first day of Sukkot? And a guy didn't have Lulav and Esrog the entire day. It's one of those times, unfortunately, in our history, that they weren't so available. It's his turn, and it's already Beina Shmashos. What should he do? So, you'll have a bracha Shiloh, right? Question is, can he make a bracha? But should he take lulav and esrog?
Yes.
100%. Safek deraisa l'chumra. The first day of Sukkot. Safek deraisa. What about the seventh day? What's the nature of lulav and esrog the seventh day of Sukkot?
No, under that assumption, we're saying that Beinu Shmashos is still considered day. And so therefore you could
to suffix.
No, so you could absolutely take the lulav and esrog, and it would be the same question if you would say the blah.
What's the difference between Bein HaShemashos the first day and the seventh day when it comes to the mitzvah of the Arba Minim? What's the nature of the mitzvah the first day and the nature of the mitzvah on 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7? Why do we take Lulav and Esrog all 7 days? Why?
Because of the days of Mikdash.
Right. What is it? What is it again?
That we don't have
the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai made a takana, zecher lemikdash. Zecher lemikdash, we take a living esrog. So is that deraisa derabanan? Derabanan. Okay, so we got a suffix derabanan on our hands. Is it a good idea? Sure, maybe you'll be yotze. You should make a bracha? Okay, you can't make a bracha. Suffix derabanan lekula. But at least you should take a living esrog, right? But are you mechuyev to? No, suffix derabanan lekula. It's a zecher lemikdash. So sukkah bein hashmashos savik deraisa lechumra. You're mechuyev to sit in the sukkah bein hashmashos if you need to eat a seuda. But you're mechuyev to take lulav and esrog bein hashmashos on the seventh day.
Savik deraban lekula is not you're never chayev.
Not mechuyev.
It's just.
I mean, if you want to do it, no one's going to tell you it's aser because it could be yotze. You know, it's a zeicher lamikdash. It's all different dynamic.
So you were arguing. I thought that Gemara here is specifically arguing that.
Oh, so let's get back on track. So what did the Gemara say? So Gemara said, Rav Papa asked Rav Aye, why in the world did Rabbi Yochanan distinguish between Esrog and Lulav? Esrog, he says, since both principles are utilizing the same principle, it's Katzai L'Yuma, that they're designated for the whole day. So Esrog, we understand, because you can fulfill the mitzvah until the end of the day. Sukkah on the eighth day? Why in the world would it be Iskatzai L'Mitzvahs on the eighth day? So Baye answers, that's the difference between Sukkah and Lulav, is that Bein HaShemashos is the difference between the two. Bein HaShemashos is a Safek Yom Safek Laila. So if Bein HaShemashos, this item, is designated for its mitzvah, then that will automatically continue to the next day, because it's also a Safek of the next day. It's the beginning of the next day. So there's no time in between Bein HaShemashos and the next day to end the designation. So it'll continue. That's the principle that the Gemara refers to as Migud Iskatzai LeBein HaShemashos Iskatzai LeKula Yuma. Since it was designated for mitzvah Bein HaShemashos, your stock, it continues the next day too. But that's only if it's Iskatzoi during the period that's Bein HaShemashos. Why would it be or not be Iskatzoi LeBein HaShemashos? So Abaye answers, because Sukkah is a mitzvah daraisa, so Safek daraisa l'chomra. If you got to eat, you're going to have to eat it in a Sukkah Bein HaShemashos. So the Sukkah has a status of a Sukkah Bein HaShemashos. But what about your Esrog? There's no chiyuv to take an esrog, even if you hadn't done it the whole day. What at best, at worst, the suffix, it's a suffix, zeicher lemikdash. Nah, that doesn't do it. Doesn't do it. Now, you're thinking to yourself, well, I mean, it could do it, right? That's what you're thinking, right? At the end of the day, you could be, I mean, it's a suffix. It's a suffix yom. So it could be, you know, but you're not chayuv. So you're not totally comfortable with this. But that's what Abaye says. According to Rabbi Yochanan, we can understand. That is no chiyuv. So since there's no chiyuv, okay, so it's not iskatzoi during Bein HaShemashos. Are we together? Should I repeat it? Are we together? Speak now. Okay. So again, so let's just read it inside. Umigu iskatzoi le Bein HaShemashos. When it comes to Sukkah, migu, since iskatzoi, it is set aside the Bein HaShemashos. Iskatzoi le gula yuma dishmin. It's automatically, by default, designated the entire day of the 8th. Kamo. Esrog, the loichazi lebein hashmashos, but an esrog which is not fit for bein hashmashos, that's what I explained, because it is a suffix of zecher lemikdash. Leiskatzai lebein hashmashos, therefore it's not considered designated bein hashmashos, the leiskatzai lekulium adishmini, and therefore it's not set aside for the entire day of the 8th day. Okay, and that's how Abaye explains Rabbi Yochanan. The Levi Omar, and Levi said, Esrog afilu bishmini aser. Yosef, now you're happy. And Levi said, what do you mean? The Esrog is even aser on the 8th day. Why? Well, assumingly, because since you could take your Esrog during Bein HaShemashos, you're not chayav, but, you know, it is a suffix. You could be yotze. So therefore, it is iskatzoi. It's not enough that you're not chayav, but okay, it still lends itself. It's not, what do you mean? It's not chazi. So that seems to be a look at Shmuel Rabbi Yochanan and Levi. V'avodah Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel's father said, it's great when you can be known by your son, you know? Like, Shmuel's not known by father's name, he's Bar or whatever, he's known as Shmuel's father. Now that's Nachas. Anyway, V'avodah Shmuel Amar, Esrig b'shvi'i aser b'shmini muter. And Esrig on the seventh day is aser, but the eighth day is muter. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said. So Avua de Shmuel held like Rabbi Yochanan. Come Avua de Shmuel b'shitase de Levi. Come, Rashi said here, means he changed his mind. He went back. He stood up, meaning he stood up and changed. He stood up, Avua de Shmuel, come b'shitase de Levi. He changed his mind and was machmir like Levi. Levi is one that said, even Esrig is aser on the eighth day. Come Rabbi Zeira b'shitase de Avua de Shmuel, and Rabbi Zeira changed his mind and decided to hold like the opinion of Avua de Shmuel that it's only a problem on the seventh day, but the Esrig on the eighth day is mutter. Come Rabbi Zeira, as we see Rabbi Zeira said, Esrig shenifsala, an Esrig that became pasul, aser laich lekol shiva, you're still not allowed to eat it all 7 days of Sukkot, but the eighth day, obviously you could. That's the implication. So we see from Rabbi Zeira's statement that he held the eighth day would be mutter. It's only aser as long as it's still considered, as long as it's Sukkot. I'm Rabbi Zeira. So that was end of that topic. That topic is the topic of iskatzoi, things that are designated for their mitzvah. And like I mentioned, that would have applications also for, you know, what the Gemara says. That's what we're talking about. It would have applications for sukkah also. Just make that distinction. We're not talking about taking apart the sukkah. Everyone agrees you can't take down your sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. The only shaila is, would you be allowed to use it for non-mitzvah purposes if you're not taking it apart? Okay, so now a new point. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Lo likne inish hashana liyanuka v'yimatava kama. Lo likne, that comes from the word kinyan. Lo likne, you should not cause to acquire. You can't be makne. I don't know. How do you say this in English? In English, you can acquire something from someone else. How do you give something to someone else? There's a present. But how do you...
Lend.
No, it's giving it to him. Likne. You're not allowed to give it to him to be his. Cause him to acquire. I don't know. You're not allowed to give it to him.
The word give. To give.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, that's what Rizari said. Likne inish hoshana liyanuka. A person should not give his hoshana. Hoshana is, again, the Gemara's term for the arba minim. One should not. It doesn't say it's aser. It says you should not. This is a good piece of advice. You should not give your hoshana to a yanuka. Want to take a guess?
Kid.
Why does it mean that? Why? What's linguistically the connection? Why does it mean a child? Yonek is the nurse. So yanuka, tinok, that's where it comes from. So liyanuka, that a person shouldn't give his arba minim to a child. That's a good question. What age are we talking about? Biyuma tava kama. You want to take a guess what that means? Yuma tava kama? Yuma, day. Tava, tov. Yom tov, good day. Kama. Bava kama. What? What's kama? A kama in English is a piece of punctuation, but that's not what we mean. What's kama? Kama is a question. That's with a chaf and with a kuf. Kama? Tana kama? Who said that? First. Tana kama means the first tana. Bava kama means the first bava. Right? And bava mitziya means that what's emtza? Middle. And what's basra? The last one. So kama means first. So yuma, tava, kama means the first good day. What's the first good day?
First day of Yom Tov.
A person should not give his hoshana to a child on the first day of Yom Tov. My time, why not? Dianuka makne kane, a child can surely acquire aknuye, but to, you called it gifting it, whatever you want to call it, but to give it to someone else, loy makne, he cannot do that. He cannot be makne it to someone else. So this is a problem. that when a child is old enough to recognize that there's something called property, so he becomes old enough, at least in the Rabbanan, to be able to acquire things. But until he becomes even older than that, he can't actually give anything to anybody else. Where's the Rashi? Rashi writes, almost towards the bottom, Makne kane dirabanan takinu lei zechiyah lenafshei. Midrabanan, they made a takana he can acquire for himself. But that takana does not mean that he can then give it to anybody else. So what's the problem? So what? My time was yinuka makne kane. Aknu lei makne. He can acquire, but he can't give it back to you. Vishtakach. Once again, Vishtakach. And then we will find the kanafik. What's nafik?
To go out.
He will be yotzei. He will be trying to be yotzei. Belulav she'enai shaloi. With a lulav that's not his. So the first day of Yom Tov, lekachtem lochem. Yom Rishon has to be yours on the first day. So you're not allowed. You're allowed. You should not give your Hoshana to a child on the first day, unless you've already been Yotze. But if you haven't been Yotze yet, you should not give it to a kid, because then what's going to happen is he will acquire it, and he won't be able to give it back to you. And it'll turn out that you're being Yotze with a lulav that's not yours. You have a question?
So, in what case would it actually be useful, though, for like a child to be able to acquire something and not be able to give something?
I mean, how old?
No, as in, we're saying here that like we can't gift it to him.
You could, technically, it'll work. That's the problem. Low likne, you shouldn't do it.
We shouldn't do it because he can't gift it to someone else.
Yeah, it'll be stuck. It'll be considered his.
But so in what case would this in what case would you actually want in what case would it be most beneficial to give something to like a child, for example, even though he can't gift it?
What's your question?
I'm just saying, though, in this case, they're saying that you shouldn't do it. Because
yeah. Why would you want to?
I'm asking, what is even the like purpose of this principle?
Right, why would you want to? Is that what you're asking? Why would you want to? Like, I didn't want to do that?
No, like, what would be the best case for doing this? Not necessarily gifting a lulav, for example, but, like, any object. I'm just trying to understand, like,
I don't understand what you're asking.
I'm just trying to understand, in general, why someone would want to
an item. Oh, so that's perfect. At least in the next part of the Gemara. Why would anyone do that? The answer is because you're not allowed to give a child a lemon. You have to give him an esrog. Wait a minute. So that means he has to own it? Lekachtem lochem. But yom harishon, right? It has to be yours. So doesn't the child have to have his own in order to be yotzei? Okay, so let's make a distinction. What's that question and then distinction. What's the question? The question is, we have a rule. The rule is, chinuch means that the child has to have the proper cheftzas ha-mitzvah. He has to have the thing that had he been an adult, he'd be able to be yotze with. So you can't give him a lemon and tell him it's an esrog, or not tell him it's an esrog. You're not allowed to give him a lemon. He has to have a legitimate esrog. It has to be kosher. So, you know, it doesn't have to be the most beautiful thing you ever saw in your life, it has to be a $120 esrog, but it has to be an esrog that you could be yotze with. So that's what you have to get for your children on Sukkot. So doesn't that mean he also has to own it? Because it says, well, kachtem lachem, yom harishon, for gadol to be yotzei has to be his. So maybe yes, maybe no. Lechad chila sounds like a nice idea, but perhaps we could distinguish between an esrog, which is the actual object of the mitzvah, and the ownership of it, which is not, it's not something that's like objective to the outsider. You know, it's a lemon, it's an esrog, it's not the cheftzas mitzvah. Here it's a question of who owns it. So perhaps he doesn't have to own it, but at least we can understand why a person would want to be l'chadchila. You should own it. So actually, give it to the kid. So don't do it if you haven't been yotze at least, because then you're gonna end up not yotze because it's not going to be yours.
Oh, so if you do give it over, he would end up acquiring it.
Yeah, that's what Rashi writes. Midrabbanan.
And so then the issue is that basically you can't take it back because he doesn't exactly have the capability of giving it back.
You got it. But Amar Rabbi Zeira, and Rabbi Zeira also said, "Loy leima inish liyanugadia hivna lach midi v'lo yahivle." A person should not say, "Lo leima inish." A person should not say liyanuka to a child, "Diyahivna lach midi." I gave something to you, v'lo yahivlei, and you didn't give it to him. Mishum da'asi la'agumure shikra. Because you are teaching him to lie. You're teaching him sheker. So you can't tell the kid this is yours and it's not really his. Because you're teaching him to lie. Shenemar limdu l'shanam da'bar sheker. That one of the major criticisms of Klal Yisrael was that they had a cut. Limdu, here is, comes from the word mitzvos anashim melumada. The things become like rote, regular. So it means they accustomed their tongues to speaking falsehood. So you're not allowed to do things that, you know, on the one hand, maybe there is an agenda that you want the child to think a certain thing, but if it's going to result in the child, he's going to, oh, you're allowed to lie, you know, you're, that's okay. So that you're not allowed to do. We've looked at Yechanan, Rav Shimon and Lakish, and this all goes back to Machlokes, Yechanan and Rav Shimon Lakish, the Itmar. Hifrish shiva esrogim l'shiva yamim. If a person separated seven esrogim for 7 days, so he has a separate esrog for each day. You know, like they have people that, you know, they want to be yotzei with like this kind of esrog and that kind of esrog. They have a different esrog, you know, every single day. Amar Rav kol achaz achaz yotzei ba. Each one he's yotzei with v'och lala alter. And as soon as he finishes this mitzvah, he can eat it right away. Rav Asi Yomar, and Rav Asi said, "Kol achas achas yotzei ba v'ochla le'machar." Each one he can use that day, but he's not allowed to eat it until the next day. The Ma'ika Mifligi, what are they arguing about? Mar Sava Mitzvasa Iskatzai. One holds that it's Huksa Mitzvasa. Rav held that as soon as the mitzvah is over, you can eat it. Mar Sava, and Rav Asi held Lekula Yuma Iskatzai. It is designated for the entire day, and therefore you wouldn't be allowed to eat it until the next day. So let's at least just start it, just on a couple lines. It's really a lead into the next Gemara, but just to get to the next dot, just a few more lines. The Anon and us, the Islan Treyume, we have 2 days of Yom Tov, so that makes things a little bit more complicated, right? Because it's almost like a I don't know, it's like a sex fake up, it's like a double stuff fake. Like here we have a day where we're not even sure we need to take Lulu and Esrei or sit in the Sukkah. And then we do it like an extra day. How does this work? How do we behave when we have 2 days of Yom Tov? Amar Abaye, Shmini Safek Shvi Aser. If you have Shmini Atzeres, and it's a Safek if it's the seventh day, right? Because that's how it is. So then it's Aser. The Esrog should be Aser. Chi, Safek Shmini. But if it's Simchas Torah, and we're just not sure, maybe it's Shmini Atzeres, so then Mutter. Then for sure the Esrog would be Mutter. Mereimar Amar, Mereimar said, Afilu Shmini Safek Shvi Mutter. Nah, even Shmini Atzeres, the Esrog is going to be Mutter. Ba'achila. Basura Avdi Kimereimar. In Surah they did like Mereimar, and they said that on Shmini Atzeres, there's no suffix, lulav and esrog. You can eat your esrog.
Wait, hold up. So they're saying that the eighth day would be a suffix, but the seventh day is just esrog. How is the eighth day a suffix if the seventh day is esrog?
This is all within the assumption that it took a liyuma. So if it's designated for the day, so what about the day that's a suffix day? You finish the mitzvah already. It's a suffix if it's even chayiv today. So based on the chiyuv, I'm doing it anyway, because it could be, it's not a suffix, I mean, I'm shaking lulav and esrog for an extra day, because it could be, you know, it's really the seventh day. Do I need to be makrid now that it's huksa liyuma, based on my suffix?
But they just said on the seventh day you can, right?
Seventh day, we're assuming it's huksa liyuma, whereas we're taking that approach. The seventh day, which is at least the chiyuv d'rabbanan, so then it's a chiyuv d'rabbanan. So, okay, it's huksa liyuma. At least till the end of the seventh day, the esrog is going to be asher to eat. Like Rabbi Yochanan. Huksa liyuma.
Oh, sorry. They're saying it's asher to eat.
But what about the Shmini Atzeres?
Right.
On Shmini Atzeres, I mean, none of us shake lulav and esrog on Shmini Atzeres.
Right. So.
But should it be asher because it's at least a safek? So, where are we? To Besura Abdi Kimereimar. In Surah, they did like Mereimar, that it was not Aser on the eighth day at all. Rosh Hashanah, Brei, Rav Idi, Avid Ke Abaye, But others did like Abaye, Mehilchasa, Ki Abaye. And halacha seems to be, and halacha is, it's more halacha is Ki Abaye, that it should be Aser on the eighth day as well. This is, of course, a lead-in to the next conversation we have to have, which is Gemara, which we'll do later tomorrow, which is what about Sukkah, Shemini Atzeres? Big hot topic. What is the story over here? How does it work in terms of Sukkah and Shemini Atzeres? This is the famous Gemara that deals with that.